Welcome to Weekly Radio Spin, the week's roundup of public relations, propaganda, and media spin. I'm Paul Bain. The U.S.-based activist Scott Parkin won a legal victory. An adverse security assessment was used in September 2005 as the basis for revoking his visitor's visa and deporting him. Now the Australian government must provide his lawyers with access to the assessment. Justice Ross Sundberg granted Perkin and two Iraqi asylum seekers access to their adverse security assessments, writes Australia's The Age. Shortly after Parkin was detained, the Australian Attorney General Philip Ruddock told ABC Radio that the Australian Security Intelligence Organization is responsible for protecting the Australian community from all forms of politically motivated violence, including violent protest activity, and that's why they've made an assessment of Parkin in relation to those matters. The Director General of Australian Security later admitted that Parkin had not been involved in violent protest activity in Australia.
I'm Jennifer Balser. Alan Castles notes that disease-mongering advertisements for cholesterol-lowering drugs, such as for Pfizer's Lipitor, hype the risk of heart attacks for those people with high cholesterol. Aside from camouflaging disease awareness campaigns behind the name of a patient group, Castles warns that when scientists have analyzed the results of a number of studies on a drug, they inevitably find that the drugs show no difference in mortality when compared against placebo. One Pfizer ad shows an image of a corpse with a toe tag and asks, "What would you rather have, a cholesterol test or a final exam?" Castles writes in Canada's Common Ground that what you don't get in the ad scaring you to see your doctor for a cholesterol test is any sense of the dangers these kinds of drugs pose. PR Week reports that Pfizer recently awarded the global PR account for promoting Lipitor to Weber Shandwick.
The Australian Broadcasting Corporation, a government-funded public broadcaster, has axed a popular weekly satirical current affairs program after one of its co-hosts, Corinne Grant, participated in protests against draconian changes to industrial relations laws. The axing of the Glass House, which was rating well, follows complaints by Liberal Party of Australia Senator Connie Fierravanti-Wells about Grant's opposition to the government's measures aimed at undermining the role of unions. The Secretary of the Media Entertainment Arts Alliance, Christopher Warren, asked, "Has freedom of expression deteriorated so far in Australia that even satire is under attack and entertainers must keep silent?" Will Anderson, one of the other co-presenters, rejects the accusation that the program had an anti-government bias, saying, "That's the thing about satire. You always attack those in power. You've got to attack the powerful. That's the point. They're powerful. Why do they care?" That's from Australia's The Age.
Air America Radio, the progressive talk radio network, which recently filed for bankruptcy, is considering syndicating a radio show co-hosted by Armstrong Williams. Williams co-hosts a morning drive time program with Sam Greenfield on the New York radio station WWRL. The Hill reports that Air America has negotiated to switch from its current broadcaster WLIB to WWRL, and that, as part of the deal, WWRL wants the Williams-Greenfield show syndicated on Air America Radio. WWRL program director Rennie Bishop declined to comment, but when asked when he could comment, said, quote, "Call me after the elections," end quote. Williams was at the center of a controversy over a $240,000 subcontract with the PR company Ketchum to promote the U.S. Department of Education's No Child Left Behind Act. Williams recently agreed to pay $34,000 to settle a Department of Justice investigation into possible breaches of his contract. Williams is also the CEO of the PR company, the Graham Williams Group.
Fran Bailey is the Australian Minister of Tourism. He has indicated a willingness to consider covering parts of the Great Barrier Reef with a shade cloth to limit damage caused to it by global warming. A trial of four shade cloths happened during the last 2 years, reports ABC Radio Australia. Bailey said, quote, "We're very concerned because this is a $5.8 billion tourist industry on the reef employing 33,000 people, but not so concerned as to sign up for the Kyoto Treaty aimed at cutting greenhouse gas emissions." Bailey's shade cloth suggestion has been ridiculed by the shadow environment minister Anthony Albanese, who argues the government should have a broader climate change strategy. Albanese said, quote, "There are 2,900 reefs together. They go for 2,300 kilometers down the Queensland coast and cover an area larger than the UK and Ireland combined. So that's a lot of shade cloth."
Thanks for listening to Weekly Radio Spin, news of public relations, propaganda, and media spin. Adapted for radio from the Center for Media and Democracy's website, prwatch.org, where you can find these stories and more. Our music is Corriendo Juntos by Curandero from magnatune.com.